Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Thursday, December 13th, 2018. Coming up this hour.
UK Prime Minister Theresa May continues her Brexit push after surviving a no-confidence vote.
Signs of trade progress as China resumes buying U.S. soybeans.
And it's the end of an era at the ECB as Mario Draghi looks to end the stimulus program.
Michael Cohen says he'll tell what he knows when the Mueller investigation is over. And the National Enquirer agrees to cooperate on the Trump hush money probe. I'm Pat Carroll. More coming up.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankees are bringing back pitcher Jay Happ. The Mets doing likewise with Jeurys Familia. The Knicks lost. The Nets won. The Islanders lost.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning. I'm John Tucker.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Use an integrated investment account from Interactive Brokers to earn, borrow, spend, and invest globally from one account. Learn more at IBKR.com.
And global stocks are starting the day mixed. Stocks in Europe surrendered early gains. U.S. futures and Asian equities climbing slightly. Investors weighing the latest progress and the trade relations between the U.S. and China, as sterling adding to its advance after Prime Minister Theresa May survived an attempt to oust her. We have S&P futures in the U.S. up 3 points right now. That's up 0.1%. Dow futures up 5. And the Nasdaq E-mini futures 21 points higher. Sterling this morning, 126.53. That's up 0.2% against the U.S. dollar. We have NYMEX crude down 29 cents a barrel at 50.87 right now. The yield on the benchmark 10-year note in the U.S., 2.89%. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day right here on Bloomberg. Nathan.
John, we begin with survival for Theresa May. The British Prime Minister has won a confidence vote, though more than a third of Conservative lawmakers voted to ditch her.
Whilst I'm grateful for that support, a significant number of colleagues did cast a vote against me, and I have listened to what they said. Following this ballot, we now need to get on with the job of delivering Brexit for the British people and building a better future for this country.
So what is next for the embattled Prime Minister? We begin our team coverage with Bloomberg's Euan Potts live in London. Euan.
Good morning, Nathan and John. The UK's Prime Minister is safe for another year, at least from her own party. Despite 117 Conservative lawmakers voting against Theresa May, that's more than a third of all her colleagues, party rules mean she cannot be challenged again for 12 months. But with no majority in the British Parliament, she still faces the threat of a confidence vote in her entire government. And, of course, the UK Prime Minister now has the job of getting her Brexit agreement passed by lawmakers, a clear majority of whom have said they cannot accept the deal as it stands. Live in London, I'm Euan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Euan, thanks. Now, before that, Theresa May heads to Brussels. The British Prime Minister will ask European Union leaders for a lifeline today. Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo is in Brussels, continuing our team coverage.
The mission for May today is to get concessions from the European Union to the extent where she can actually put the deal to a vote in the UK Parliament and get it through. We understand, based on our reporting, that today the EU will want to help her out, but there are very clear limits as to what they can do or cannot do. The European Union really has no appetite to open up the negotiation. They're happy to tweak the language, but not really the legally binding bits of this agreement, and that is going to be a problem for May, because that's really what she needs. Brussels, Maria Tadeo, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Maria. As European finance confronts Brexit, one prominent money manager isn't losing faith in London's banks. Dan Iveson, who runs PIMCO's Income Bond Fund, spoke exclusively to Bloomberg Radio.
Even under very extreme negative scenarios for Brexit, you know, when looking at the banking system there, you know, we don't believe that even under worst case type scenarios, the viability of some of these larger financial institutions is at risk.
Tune in later this morning for our full interview with PIMCO Income Fund Manager Dan Iveson. You can catch his exclusive conversation with Bloomberg's Lisa Abramowitz today at 11 a.m. Wall Street time.
Ahead of that, Mario Draghi is set to end an era by halting the European Central Bank's flagship stimulus program. The ECB president is expected to stick to the plan that he made 6 months ago to end bond purchases at $3 trillion. Richard Jones is Bloomberg FX and rate strategist.
Pay gains in the euro area are at the strongest levels that we've seen in about 10 years. And I think given that dynamic, we'll probably see messaging from Mario Draghi, which is consistent with what we've been hearing from him for about the past 6 months.
And sources tell Bloomberg the ECB will lower its inflation forecast for next year when it publishes its outlook. That ECB decision comes out at 7:45 a.m. Wall Street time, followed by Draghi's news conference 45 minutes later.
And bonds in Italy are rallying after Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte proposed to cut the deficit target to 2.04% for next year. This is a significant concession to the European Commission after the initial target of 2.4% was rejected for breaching EU rules. However, Conte has not detailed how this lower target would be achieved.
China is making good on a trade pledge to President Trump. We get the details from Bloomberg's Jody Schneider in Hong Kong.
China has resumed buying U.S. soybeans, purchasing between 1.5 million to 2 million metric tons over the past 24 hours. This is a major gesture by China toward easing the trade tensions with the U.S. Soybeans became a major part of the trade dispute, an early part of the trade dispute, with China shunning imports from farms in rural communities that had voted for President Trump in 2016. It's the first significant purchase since the two countries began imposing tariffs on each other's products. In Hong Kong, I'm Jody Schneider for Bloomberg Daybreak.
And the International Energy Agency says it's too early to tell whether oil supply cuts announced by OPEC and its allies last week will succeed in balancing global markets. The IEA slashed its forecast for new supplies outside OPEC next year because of a lower outlook for Russia, which is cooperating with OPEC, and Canada, which is separately suppressing output to deplete brimming inventories. NYMEX is down 27 cents at $50.89. Brent is down 27 cents at $59.88 a barrel.
Shares of Swiss asset manager GAM have lost nearly a quarter of their value today. The firm will scrap its dividend and predicted a $931 million loss for the year. GAM's assets under management tumbled following the suspension of star bond manager Tim Haywood. The crisis led to a restructuring program to cut costs by more than $40 million. This is Bloomberg. And it's 6:07 on Wall Street. Time to get more world and national news from Bloomberg's Pat Carroll.
Thanks, Nathan. While President Trump has said he's not worried about impeachment, NBC News reports he has told people close to him recently that he is alarmed at the prospect and has been calling friends outside the White House and allies on Capitol Hill. Michael Cohen's lawyer says he will tell what he knows about President Trump once the Mueller investigation is over. Lanny Davis tells Bloomberg's Kevin Cirilli there will come a time when Cohen will sit in front of a congressional committee. Davis also talked to Cirilli about whether Cohen would get a pardon from President Trump.
It was discussed by me with Michael, and the answer was that he asked me to say publicly, which I have already, he would not accept a pardon, doesn't want a pardon, and if it were offered by Mr. Trump, he would tell him to go fly a kite.
Cohen was sentenced to 3 years in prison yesterday. Meanwhile, the parent company of the National Enquirer has agreed to cooperate with federal prosecutors on the Trump hush money investigation. The deal says the Enquirer accepts responsibility for its role in the $150,000 payment to silence a former Playboy playmate about her alleged affair with Trump before the election. The agreement says the purpose was to suppress the story and prevent it from influencing the election. Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi has clinched a deal with party rebels to get back her majority leadership role. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
Her agreement is a concession to a faction of the House Democrats who've been pushing for younger members to move into leadership. Pelosi and her team have been at the top for a decade, so this would keep her in the speaker's job, but promise for not more than 4 years. The Pelosi opposition now saying it's time to move forward as one and that she showed leadership in agreeing to the deal. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
A five-year, $867 billion farm bill has cleared the House, renewing agricultural subsidies and food aid for low-income families, a controversial provision backed by conservatives and President Trump that would have toughened work requirements to qualify for assistance, was removed from the bill. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Pat Carroll. This is Bloomberg. Nathan?
All right, Pat, thank you. It's 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Investors Bank. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, if the Mets can get leads in 2019, they should do a much better job of holding on to them. They already added Edwin Diaz, who had 57 saves with Seattle. Now the Mets are bringing back to New York the guy who had been their closer, now to be the setup man for Diaz. Jeris Familia will sign for 3 years, $30 million. The Mets last summer traded him to Oakland. Also last July, the Yankees acquired J. Happ from Toronto. He went 7-0 in pinstripes, although he did get rocked in the playoff game in Boston. Happ staying in New York, 2 years plus an option at $17 million a year. Fifth straight loss for the Knicks. They fell behind in Cleveland by 22, made a great comeback to take a one-point lead with 32 seconds left. And then the Cavs scored the last 8 points to win 113-106. Knicks coach David Fizdale.
Yeah, the game was lost in the first quarter. You just can't keep spotting teams 40-point quarters and thinking you're going to dig your way out of that. But I was proud of the way we clawed back and fought to get that lead.
Break up the Nets, a third straight win, held on in Philadelphia, 127-124, thanks to Spencer Dinwiddie, his career-high 39 points. Toronto Raptors at NBA best 23-7, and they are 7-1 when their best player, Kawhi Leonard, has not played. Without Leonard, they still won at Golden State by 20. NHL Vegas beat the Islanders 3-2. Rangers defenseman Kevin Shattenkirk will miss the next 2 to 4 weeks. He's got a knee injury. College hoops, BC over Columbia 82-73. Stony Brook down to LIU 83-79 and is now 9-2. The Giants last Sunday won easily without Odell Beckham. Obviously, they won him back this week against Tennessee. Beckham limited at practice due to his injured quad. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan.
And John, in other NFL news, the league will stage 4 games in London and 1 in Mexico City next season, with the Jaguars, Chargers, Rams, Raiders, and Buccaneers serving as hosts. When the games will be played and who those hosts will be playing, we won't know those answers till the spring when the NFL announces its 2019 schedule. Futures on Wall Street mixed at the moment, with S&P futures up just a point. Dow futures down 6 right now. NASDAQ futures up by 15 points. 10-year Treasury yield 2.89%. The 2-year at 2.76. This is Daybreak. The sports report was brought to you by Investors Bank. Business wins here. Connect your team with the experts at Investors Bank for business solutions to move your business forward. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And good morning, I'm John Tucker, 617 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's check the latest headlines with Aaron Roman at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, John. China resumed buying U.S. soybeans, bringing relief to farmers in the U.S. heartland. Purchases for 1.5 million to 2 million metric tons have already been placed, and sources tell us more orders may come today. At the same time, China has arrested another Canadian. The move comes as Beijing presses for the release of Huawei's CFO. 10-year Treasury yields will peak at 3.4% in mid-2019. That's according to strategists at Deutsche Bank, who say 10-year yields will then decline to 3.3% by year-end because of a less aggressive Fed rate path. And Bloomberg News has learned the ECB will lower its inflation and GDP forecasts for 2019 today, though President Mario Draghi will be keen to prevent rate hike expectations from slipping further when he speaks at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. John?
All right, Bloomberg's Aaron Roman. Thanks, Aaron. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day right here on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 3, Dow futures up 12, the NASDAQ E-mini futures up 18. And ahead of the ECB rate decision, the euro 113.80. That's up 0.1% against the U.S. dollar. That is Bloomberg Business Flash. And now with more on what's going on around the world, let's check in with Bloomberg's Pat Carroll.
Thanks, John. Despite what he has said, NBC News is reporting that President Trump has told people close to him he's worried about impeachment. His lawyer tells Bloomberg Michael Cohen will tell what he knows after the Mueller investigation is over. The National Enquirer's parent has made a deal to cooperate with federal prosecutors about the Trump hush money probe. And Nancy Pelosi has made a deal with party dissidents to limit her term as speaker.
In sports, in the NBA, the Knicks lost, the Nets won, Celtics beat the Wizards in overtime, 130 to 125, and the Warriors lost. In the NHL, the Islanders lost. NFL Week 15 kicks off tonight with the Chiefs hosting the Chargers. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Pat Carroll. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Pat. It's coming up on 620 on Wall Street. Now, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak, and we're joined on this busy Thursday morning by Jamie Murray, Chief Europe Economist for Bloomberg Economics. Prime Minister May lives to see another day. Jamie, what does this mean for her Brexit plan? What does it mean for the UK economy going forward, in your view?
Well, I think what it means is that the votes on the Withdrawal Act will be delayed and probably will happen closer towards the end of January. So if you're looking for a big crunch point, January the 21st is the day that things will come to a head. So we're expecting a broadly similar deal to be put before Parliament then. Hopefully, from an economic perspective at least, hopefully that will go through and some uncertainty will recede and people can get back to life as usual.
Yeah. I wonder how big an ask that is, though, because if the deal is broadly similar to what's been put forward at this point, it's the deal that Prime Minister May delayed a vote on. What are the chances that conservative and even Labour MPs could change their minds?
I think that's a very good point. So I think the risk is that May actually tries to choose a softer form of Brexit, and that is what ends up being laid before Parliament. So that could be an arrangement similar to Norway's arrangement, where there's just a bit more integration. And that would please a lot more parliamentarians here in the UK and increase the chance of getting through. The trouble is that would create backlash for the Conservative Party, and then we'd have new political rifts in the UK.
Lay out those risks for us.
Well, I think the trouble is that the public won't be happy with it, potentially. There'll be a big selection of the public which will be unhappy with the deal. The Conservative Party will potentially have to face another election, and then you inject a new level of political uncertainty. Even though the Brexit uncertainty may have reduced somewhat, you may get a revival of political uncertainty as the parties battle out for the next election.
When you talk about the revival of political uncertainty, does that raise the prospect of uncertainty reaching the level of a second referendum? I mean, could that still be on the table?
It is still on the table, I think. So one thing that's important to note is there's been an amendment to the Withdrawal Act, which gives Parliament a lot more power to decide what happens if no deal is reached or nothing goes through Parliament. So Parliament, all the lawmakers in Parliament will have the choice then about what to do, and that will be taken away from Theresa May. So at that stage, with a logjam in Parliament, they may decide that the only way to get through is to send it back to the general public. And so, the chances of a second referendum have clearly increased over the past month or so.
Lots of uncertainty heading into the new year. Let's move on to what's coming in the next hour, the ECB rate decision at 7:45 a.m. Wall Street time. And our sources are telling us that the central bank is going to lower its inflation forecast. What does that mean for the bond purchasing program?
I think for bond purchases, it doesn't mean anything. The likelihood, well, bond purchases are going to come to a stop in December. That's almost certain. More important, I think, at the moment is what it means for the path of interest rates next year. And we've seen that the growth has slowed. It's slowed to 0.2 a quarter in most recent data, which is below trend for the euro area. So that's kind of not fast enough to keep inflation rising. And if that lasts, then the likelihood is that interest rate hikes will have to be delayed. But what we're going to see today at the meeting is that Mario Draghi is going to acknowledge that growth has slowed a bit, but try and reassure everyone that the expansion is going to continue at a reasonable pace. He's seen that interest rate expectations have slipped in markets. He doesn't want them to slip too far, because when interest rates do eventually have to go up, it will come as a surprise. So I think that's what he's going to try and achieve today, is to acknowledge the slowdown, but emphasize that the expansion is still going to continue.
So then in 30 seconds, you're not expecting then that there's going to be much clarity in terms of what the next rate hike or when the next rate hike will be from the ECB?
Well, we know that they've indicated that it's likely to come after the summer. It could probably take the form of a very small rate hike to the deposit rate, in September, and then the first big main refinancing rate hike could come later in the year, perhaps towards the end.
Bloomberg Economics Chief Europe Economist Jamie Murray, thanks for all this. Much appreciated. Again, the ECB rate decision coming at 7:45 a.m. Wall Street time, followed by Mario Draghi's news conference at 8:30. And checking the euro, it's at $1.1380. British pound at $1.2659. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And for breaking news wherever you are, Bloomberg and Twitter have launched TikTok, the first global news network designed for social media, offering live video coverage and hourly updated top news reports verified by Bloomberg at TICTOC on Twitter.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm John Tucker. We are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. And let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Signs of progress emerging in America-China trade talks. China has resumed buying U.S. soybeans. It bought 1.5 million to 2 million metric tons of American supply over the past 24 hours.
The British pound is adding to its advance after UK Prime Minister Theresa May survived an attempt to oust her. We get the latest from Bloomberg's Alex Morales in London.
The UK Prime Minister won a confidence vote in which more than a third of Tory lawmakers voted to get rid of her. Victory came at a heavy price, with May telling her colleagues before the ballot that she wouldn't lead them into the next general election. And she still has to get her Brexit deal through a hostile parliament. That requires legal concessions she says she'll seek from the EU, but EU leaders have been clear they won't agree to. In London, Alex Morales, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Alex. The Prime Minister heads to Brussels today to resume her Brexit battle with EU officials.
And the Swiss National Bank cut its inflation forecast and showed no inclination of moving off its crisis-era settings, citing the franc's strength at mounting global risks.
The European Central Bank holds its final policy meeting of the year. Bloomberg's Piotr Skalamowski has details from Frankfurt.
President Mario Draghi is expected to confirm that the asset purchase program will peak at 2.6 trillion euros at the end of this month. The end of QE comes as the euro area economy is slowing, and Draghi may need to stress that a significant amount of stimulus will remain in place. In Frankfurt, Piotr Skolimowski, Bloomberg Radio.
Piotr, thank you. Sources tell Bloomberg the ECB will lower its inflation forecast for next year when it publishes its outlook.
And bonds in Italy rallying after Prime Minister Giuseppe Conte proposed to cut the deficit target to 2.04% for next year.
6:32 on Wall Street now. Time for the Volatility Index report. The VIX fell for a third straight session, closing at 21.46. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is currently at 21.33. John, that's this morning's volatility report.
And Nathan, this comes on a morning when U.S. futures, they're kind of mixed at this point. S&P futures, S&P minis up 2 points, about a tenth of a percent higher. The Dow futures, they've turned lower now. They're down 13 points, and the Nasdaq E-mini futures are up. They're up 15 points right now. That is up 0.2%. And before that ECB decision this morning, the euro 113.79, that's up a tenth of a percent against the greenback. We have sterling at 126.52. That is up 0.2% against the U.S. dollar. NYMEX crude down 16 cents at 50.99. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thank you, John. It is 6:33 on Wall Street, and Pat Carroll is here to tell us more of what's going on around the world. Pat?
Thanks, Nathan. President Trump has told people close to him that he's worried about impeachment, according to NBC News, which reports he's been calling allies on Capitol Hill and friends outside the White House. President Trump's former personal lawyer, Michael Cohen, will tell what he knows once the Mueller investigation is complete, says Cohen's lawyer, Lanny Davis, in an interview with Bloomberg's Kevin Cirilli. Cohen has admitted to lying to Congress and Mueller's investigators about the timing of a proposed Trump Tower in Moscow and Trump's involvement in the project. Davis says that false testimony was shared with the White House before Cohen submitted it to Congress.
So there's no question that President Trump knew what
Michael's testimony would be. And since President Trump was told about the tower conversations that Michael Cohen said he had with the senior Russian official and that he conferred with his client, Mr. Trump, about those conversations, the inevitable conclusion is that Mr. Trump and the White House knew that Michael Cohen would be testifying falsely to Congress and did not tell him not to.
Cohen was sentenced yesterday to 3 years in prison. Meanwhile, the parent company of the National Enquirer has agreed to cooperate with federal prosecutors on the Trump hush money probe. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The deal announcement made after the sentencing of Trump fixer Michael Cohen, it says that the Enquirer accepts responsibility for its role in a $150,000 payment to silence a former Playboy playmate about her alleged affair with Donald Trump before the election. Now, the agreement says the purpose was to suppress the story and prevent it from influencing the election. In Cohen's court papers, he says the president directed him to make that payment before the election. A spokesman for the company has declined comment. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Senators are expected to vote today on a resolution that would call on the U.S. to pull assistance from the Saudi-led war in Yemen in a rebuke of Saudi Arabia after the Khashoggi killing. U.S. intelligence officials have concluded Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman must have at least known of the plot, but President Trump has been reluctant to pin the blame. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and a TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Pat Carroll. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Pat. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update brought to you by Investors Bank. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, one pitcher coming back to New York, another staying put. The Mets have signed free agent reliever Jairis Familia for 3 years, $30 million. He was their closer for 3.5 years. They traded him last summer to Oakland. Now he's coming back to be the setup man for the newly acquired Edwin Diaz. The Yankees liked what they saw in Jay Happ for the last 2 months of last season. He went 7-0, has now signed with the Yanks for 2 years plus an option at $17 million a year. So the Yankee rotation seems set with Happ and James Paxton joining Luis Severino, Masahiro Tanaka, and CC Sabathia. In Cleveland, a nightmare start for the Knicks. They fell behind by 22. Furious rally gave them a one-point lead with 32 seconds left. And then the Cavs scored the last 8 points and won 113-106. It's the Knicks' fifth loss in a row. Three straight wins for the Nets, 127-124 in Philadelphia. Coach Kenny Atkinson says his team has been in every game.
The fact that we had chances to win, I'd say 90% of them, you know, that just bodes well, with Karras being out, I think the feeling was, we're not going to be able to compete at that high level. And it's like, well, we keep doing it, and it's good these last three games. We closed it out, though.
Spencer Dinwiddie led Brooklyn a career-high 39 points in 30 minutes off the bench. Toronto won at Golden State by 20. NHL Vegas down the Islanders 3-2. College hoops saw BC beat Columbia. Stony Brook over LIU. Big NFL game tonight. Chargers and Chiefs and KC, two best records in the AFC. So the winner might be the one seed in the playoffs and the loser the five seed. Jets host Houston Saturday. The Giants host Tennessee Sunday. They hope to get Odell Beckham back from his quad injury, practiced on a limited basis yesterday. The Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
Thank you, John. It is 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
A Chinese scientist claimed to have edited the genes of human embryos has provoked condemnation from scientists worldwide, and rightly so. He barged ahead without ensuring that the genetic changes he says he made would not cause unintended harm to the twins who have now been born. One good thing can come from this outrageous lapse of judgment, though. It shows that the need for tight restrictions on editing of germline genes is urgent. Countries shouldn't inflexibly ban all embryonic gene editing, because one day this technology might be used to fight heritable diseases and disorders. But research should be carefully restricted and monitored. 3 years ago, an international group of scientists agreed that it would be irresponsible to proceed with germline editing until there is broad societal consensus, and until all risks are known. A concerted international push to form that consensus can't come too soon. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Costco Wholesale reports earnings this afternoon. We get the story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The analyst survey by Bloomberg see the retailer reporting adjusted earnings per share of $1.62 on revenue of $34.77 billion. Analysts at Bloomberg Intelligence say Costco's operating model continues to show strength with strong same-store sales growth driven by traffic gains and a mix of merchandise that resonates with customers. Online sales and membership renewals will also be in focus when Costco reports after the close of U.S. trading. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. It is 6:39 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report with Bob Moon.
Fashion designer Stella McCartney says disposable apparel known as fast fashion is wrecking the planet. She spoke at an event in London and called on business leaders and politicians to help the industry reduce its impact on the environment. McCartney sidestepped specific names, but the term fast fashion refers to cheap and quickly made clothing that's been associated with such retailers as Zara, H&M, and Forever 21. H&M is among companies with programs to encourage recycling, but there are limitations. Europe's HNST brand of jeans says it recycles up to 50% of cotton per pair, but founder Tom DeHoe says that may be the highest recycled mix that's practical.
In the recycling process, which is a mechanical process, the jeans are being chopped up, so the fiber length gets shortened. So you need to add the new fibers to have the good quality again. So that's why we can't produce 100% recycled jeans.
McCartney told the London event she thinks a big part of the solution is educating consumers. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, Bob, thank you. Futures on Wall Street mixed at the moment, with S&P futures up nearly 2 points, Dow futures down 11, NASDAQ futures ahead by 15 points. 10-year Treasury yield at 2.89%, 2-year at 2.76%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's coming up on 6:41 on Wall Street. Straight ahead, a focus on the nation's capital, new scrutiny for the Trump campaign, and missed chances for a border wall. We check in next with Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. This is Daybreak.
Continues.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And good morning, 6:47 on Wall Street. I'm John Tucker. And let's go over to the first word, breaking news desk this morning for today's morning call with Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, John. U.S. futures are trading mixed right now. Dow futures down 43 points. S&Ps are down a point. And NASDAQ futures are higher by 7.5. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.89%. Oil is trading lower. And Shanghai rose 1.2%. Well, European markets are trading mixed as well. Note, the ECB rate decision is at 7:45. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, import price index and jobless claims. And at 2 o'clock, the monthly budget statement. Regarding earnings this morning, look for Ciena to report around 7 a.m. And in other news, Tesla's price target raised to $4.65 over at Robert Baird. Starboard Value is said to plan to push for changes at Magellan Health. And Aflac confirms that Japan Post talks are on a potential minority stake. Wrapping things up, Marvell Technology was upgraded by at Citigroup. GE was upgraded to neutral at JP Morgan. Shares are up 9% in the pre-market. FireEye was cut to equal weight at Morgan Stanley, and Coca-Cola was downgraded to neutral over at UBS. Live from the First Word Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. John?
All right, Bill, thanks a lot. And here, live breaking news over your Bloomberg type squawk on your terminal. It is now 6:48 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the day right here on Bloomberg Radio. Again, S&P futures are down 2 points, 10-year yield of the U.S., 2.89%. That's Bloomberg Business Flash. Now with more on what's going on around the world, we say good morning to Pat Carroll.
Good morning, John. His lawyer tells Bloomberg Michael Cohen will tell what he knows after the Mueller investigation is over. The National Enquirer's parent has made a deal to cooperate with federal prosecutors about the Trump hush money probe. In sports, in the NBA, the Knicks lost, Nets won, Celtics beat the Wizards in overtime, 130-125, and the Warriors lost. NHL, the Islanders lost. And football, Week 15 kicks off in the NFL tonight with the Chiefs hosting the Chargers. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal. Nathan, have you heard of finger limes? Pastel-hued,
no.
I didn't think so. They're pastel colors, tube-shaped fruit with citrus bubbles.
Oh.
It is a garnish for raw fish or pasta, also known as a caviar lime.
Okay.
It costs as much as $150 a pound.
Oh, that's why it's on the Bloomberg Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal this morning.
It originally started in Australia. You can get it in restaurants like Gem in New York and Maud in L.A.
And if you put the lime in the coconut, it becomes very expensive.
Thanks, Nathan. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Pat Carroll. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Pat. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. We're at 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include a briefing for the full House this morning on Saudi Arabia and Yemen from Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and Defense Secretary Jim Mattis. Also, a meeting at the White House with President Trump and newly elected governors today, and a hearing at the House Oversight Committee on nonprofits and a case study on the Clinton Foundation. Also making news this morning, as you heard from Pat, Michael Cohen's sentencing, and it may be just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to investigations surrounding President Trump's 2016 campaign. Let's get more now from Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. And Kate, I guess it's not just Michael Cohen talking, but now the publisher of the National Enquirer. How big a deal is this?
Well, I think it's just every sort of, it seems like every stage in Robert Mueller's probe, he's sort of unearthing more and more. And then he's either investigating that himself or he's referring to other, you know, he's reviewing that information to other federal prosecutors. And now, so we're hearing a bit more about this, from the head of the National Enquirer. And, you know, it just builds on itself, really, at some point. There's been so much information that's come out. I think it just leaves this overall sense that when Trump says he's done nothing wrong, it becomes harder and harder to sort of differentiate that from kind of the drip of news every day.
Yeah. And when we've heard in the past that the National Enquirer, allegedly paid for stories only to, keep them from being published, you wonder what those stories might be. And, you know, given some of the sordid things that have already been said about President Trump, proven and unproven, makes you wonder, you know, what much more could be said about the president.
Absolutely. And I think that it just, it helps to build a case, that Trump's critics are building, that it provides building blocks for the case that Trump's critics are building, that basically this was a pattern of behavior by the president during the 2016 campaign that, you know, doesn't directly have anything to do with Russia, but that kind of separate from that, that he and those around him were looking to kind of, use their available resources to pay off people to try to influence the outcome of the election, which is problematic, from a legal standpoint.
Yeah. And you raise the point that, at this point, it doesn't appear to, have the smoking gun that everybody talks about when it comes to collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia. But you wonder whether more people in the president's inner circle could be put in legal jeopardy and, how much more this could potentially put the president himself at risk.
Yeah. And I think that it's important to remember that, there's a legal risk to Trump, probably most likely when he leaves office, but that there's also, a political risk to the president, that there's this, increasingly loud drumbeat among Democrats, particularly the Democratic base, to, move forward when they take control of the House of Representatives in January, to move forward with some kind of an impeachment proceeding. And I think that all of these revelations that we're hearing, bit by bit, are going to make it harder for Democrats to resist that prodding from their base.
Yeah. And we're hearing this report this morning from NBC News that, despite the president's public proclamations, including in that interview this week with Reuters, he is at least venting with close aides and associates about the prospect of impeachment. From what you are hearing from your sources, how concerned is the president at this point that, come early in the next Congress, he could be facing potential proceedings?
I mean, I think it'd be silly of the president not to be worried about that. And also given, what we know about Trump's kind of personality and temperament, that seems like the sort of thing. It's not hard to imagine that that would be the case, that he would be venting to people and talking about this. I think what's interesting to me in some ways is that we haven't really seen that translated into, his Twitter rants yet. But I wonder if that's kind of the next thing coming.
Yeah, we'll keep hitting refresh on Twitter. In the meantime, I guess the immediate focus policy-wise for the president is the prospect of a government shutdown a week from tomorrow, his push for a border wall, his ongoing push for a border wall. And there's a very interesting look back on the Bloomberg terminal this morning on many of the missed opportunities the president has had to at least get something on border security.
Yeah, as recently as February of this year, actually, you know, he was offered $25 billion for his wall with a pathway to citizenship for certain undocumented immigrants. And he essentially, turned that down and basically, you know, cast it as a giant amnesty bill. And now it's the type of thing that now I think he would perhaps, you know, like to have gotten. It's sort of what he's asking for. So I think that, not the amnesty piece, but the money. And he's not looking to get that much money at this point. So it seems as though, you know, the odds of him getting what he wants on the wall were certainly better with Republicans in control of both chambers of Congress than they're going to be with Democrats in control of the House.
And in our last 30 seconds here, I mean, the complaint that the president had made, even when Republicans were in control, was that he needed Democratic votes. And now he needs a lot more Democratic votes with them in the majority in the House.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, obviously in the Senate, with the 60-vote threshold for major legislation, that required some Democratic votes. But now Democrats, at least in the House, are going to be in the position of setting the agenda, not just having to be providing votes. And so I think that really changes the dynamics a whole lot.
Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thank you. Always appreciate it. You can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. And a reminder, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington. Just tune in to Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. John.
All right. Thanks, guys. It is now 6:56 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. You know, there are big mortgage lenders you've heard of, like Quicken. And then there are hundreds of others you probably never heard of. Most of them are smaller businesses. And as a group, they are increasingly pessimistic. For the 9th consecutive quarter, mortgage lenders' profit outlook has declined. That's according to a survey by Fannie Mae. Doug Duncan, Fannie Mae's chief economist, points to higher rates.
When rates rise, the first thing that happens is refinancing goes away. And then the second thing is it's more expensive to buy a house, so the demand for mortgages declines in general. That puts pressure on the volume of capacity in the industry.
Well, given the rise in rates and the volume of business, there's too much capacity. Duncan says you'll probably see a couple of hundred exits over the next few months. These small, independently owned mortgage businesses, in other words, he says, will go out of business. And that is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report. And this comes on a day we're still awaiting an ECB decision. The euro right now, 113.75. That's about up slightly against the U.S. dollar. Futures in the U.S. have all turned lower. Remember earlier, they were higher. S&P futures down 4 points. That's down 0.2% right now. The Dow E-mini futures, 70 points lower, down 0.3%. And the NASDAQ futures, they are down slightly right now, down a half of a point. We'll call that unchanged at this point. 10-year yield in the U.S., 2.89%. And British pound sterling, 126.51. That's up 0.2% against the U.S. dollar. NYMEX crude is down to 80 cents at 50.36. And stay with us. Just ahead, Bloomberg surveillance with Tom Keene in Brussels and John Farrow here in New York. Don't miss it. This is Bloomberg.